This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa salatu wassalamu ala ma'uthi rahmatillil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm al-awwal min shahri al-Hijjah 1445 الموافق ل 7 من شهر جون 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. What was the last hadith we... النهي عن الحذف ظهر من الغفة
صح؟
yes. So بإذن الله تعالى we continue from where we stopped before we go. Don't forget we already started dealing with the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the best righteous deed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those placed in these 10 days. So they ask him, Ya Rasulullah, wala al-mujahidu fi sabilillah. Qala wa la mujahid fi sabilillah. Is Rasulullah including the one who went for jihad? He said yes, including the one. Except in the case of a person who went to jihad and did not manage to come back with neither his soul or his wealth. With his wealth and the soul, but he did not come back with any one of them. That's the person that you can put him as equivalent of somebody who utilizes righteous deed in these days. And therefore, I really urge you to do good for yourself. You know, do good for yourself. You're not doing good for Allah, we're doing good for ourselves. Be good. You know, anything that is good. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say fasting, praying, Quran. You know, he says, Al-amalu salih. What is al-amal salih? Any action that Allah loves and He is pleased with it, which is done according to the two conditions of ibadah. Two conditions of ibadah, al-ikhlas wal mutabah. You know, you do it according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything. So you want to fast, you fast these days. It's good to fast, no restriction. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-amal salih fihi." There are some indications in some of a hadith actually that indicated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast these 10 days. Although it's an indication, because Aisha radiallahu anha says, "Wal ashru," and many scholars said this is referring to the ashru Dhul-Hijjah, these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So whether Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast them or he did not use to fast them, but he says righteous deed in these days is the most beloved thing to be done in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, much more better than any other righteous deed. And fasting, the reason why fasting is good, because it occupies every part of your day. You know, you'll be in an active worship in every single part of your day. And don't forget, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the best thing to be done to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told that person who asked him, he said, عَلَيْكَ بِالسِّيَامِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا عِدَلَ لَهُ. He said, fast, because I couldn't find something similar to fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in praising the fast, he says, يَدَعُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ جَدْوَائِهِ. He stays away from his eating, drinking, and his sexual desire for my sake. That's why he says, except fasting. Everything you do is yours, except fasting. فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَالْعَجْزِمِ. He says, fasting is mine, the rest are yours. Everything is Allah's. You pray is Allah's, not yours. But subhanAllah, we need to understand that this is something special. The eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, fasting is mine. He said, I will be the one who will reward you. إِنَّمَا يُوفَى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The sabirun here, some scholars said, are referring to the fasting people. Patient people here, they say they are the fasting people. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in praising those who fast, in the hadith of Qudsi, or the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَةً. The fasting person has two moments of happiness. إِذَا أَفْطَرَ فَرِحَ بِفَطْرِهِ. When he breaks his fast, he will be happy with that. This one is witnessed, right, by every one of us. And the second moment of happiness, he says, وَإِذَا لَقِيَ رَبَّهُ فَرِحَ بِإِسْلَامِهِ. Allah. He says, when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be happy with his fasting. You know, the happiness on the Day of Judgment is a sign of success. There's no way for a person to be happy on that day if he's not passing the test. No way. He has to be in a state of grief and stress and hardship. And see a person happy, that's a sign of success. And to make it better, Allah says, or the Prophet Allah said, when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be happy with his fasting. Yeah. And that is a special door only for the fasting people to the judgment. And Rasulullah said, fasting will intercede for you, to stand on the Day of Judgment for you. So all of these, if you look at them, you know, they will be, inshallah, additional, you know, advantages that will make you, you know, choosing to fast in these days. You get it? Choosing to fast in these days. Not because specifically the Prophet said fast these 10 days, you know, but since he says that Amal Salih, you look into the Amal Salih, take whatever you can afford doing. One of them is fasting, and it has all of these advantages and those which we did not mention. So therefore, I really urge you, whoever can fast, should fast for his own benefit. Not must, but should do it for his own benefit. Wallahi, you need it so much to fast. Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to grant you good. And especially these days, I think you have to increase a little bit of the speed, you know, in whatever you're doing. You have to increase a little bit of speed and be more rigid and most honest yourself. Yeah. And yeah, what I see is, I don't know whether we see things together, I mean, in the same way, but life is changing. A lot. Things which used to be a munkar, a ma'ruf these days. So this is the time we're living in. If you're not careful, it could be easily snatched by. Yeah. So many luchas, concessions, any things which used to be, you know, praiseworthy now, even from the student knowledge, the amount of the leniency and softness and compromise that you are having in these days, subhanAllah, Allah is so scary. That's why I said a person should, I mean, not to exaggerate and to go beyond the limit, but between you and yourself, make sure that your istiqamah increases it. Your rigidity in terms of holding firmly upon the istiqamah should be the increase. Yeah. Or a little bit higher. Yeah, inshallah, so that you will be able to maintain the balance. Because I realize these days, the moment you come down a bit, then most likely, Masalama. See you. So try your best. These are opportunities, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting us. So inshallah, by the little you're going to be doing in these days, even like ta'ala, your istiqamah will increase, inshallah. And inshallah, you will be able to resist the fitan that are emerging every time they are emerging. So Allah salam alaikum. So fasting, prayers, I'm not talking about the prayers because you have to do them, whether there is the hijjah or there is no good hijjah. Yeah. So what to say about that? Perfect them. And when you perfect them, please, after the hijjah, then go back to the old way. Continue like that. And recitation of the Quran should increase. You must have wird. with the means, the portion that you are doing on a daily basis in the book of Allah. And istighfar, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. And give charity as much as you can. And if you can afford over here, do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although that hadith is rejected by some scholars, some authenticated the hadith, some rejected it. But whatever the case might be, you have some who believe that oath here is wajib. So be on the safe side. And Allah praises so much. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ الْحُرْمَهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالَهُ تَقْوَ مِنْكُمْ. Allah Akbar. Allah doesn't need the blood. Doesn't need the meat. But the taqwa that puts you to go and slaughter the animals, this is what Allah wants. That's it. You're doing it only for His sake. And you will get the benefit of this. So don't be stingy to yourself. Slaughter animal. If you live in a place where you don't have anyone to eat from the animal, you do it somewhere else, but don't stay away from over here. Don't stay away from over here as long as you can afford it. So these are some advice, and don't forget on the day of Arafah is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. And according to the best opinion that I believe in, when it comes to the Arafah, you fast with the Arafah. In Ramadan, wherever you are living, any country you are living, you have to follow that site. Breaking the fast also, Eid, you have to do Eid with the people. But if you are living in a place where the sighting is different from the Arafah, and you fast on the Arafah day, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sawmu yawmi Arafah," fasting on the day of Arafah. And the day of Arafah is known. "Huwa al-yawm alladhi yaqumu fihi an-nasu bi-Arafah." It's the day in which people are standing on Arafah. Ibn Taymiyyah says, even if they are wrong, Allah will count it for them as Arafah. So we are tabah now. So we follow. So we fast on that day. Sheikh Fawzan, he was asked, he says, if you can fast also the second day, since it does not eat in your country, say, let's do that. But if you happen to choose one day, then choose the Arafah day. If not, if you can be strong, then fast both days, because it's not eat in your country. Because you're not going to do eat, although you fast Arafah, but you're not going to do eat tomorrow. Why? Because the hadith of the Prophet said, وَعَدْحَاكُمْ يَوْمَ تَضَحُّونَ. And your Eid at Adha is the day your people are making Eid. What is Eid? Celebration, right? Happiness, everyone together, we're just together doing, enjoying the happiness. But if you're doing Eid with yourself, which Eid is that? Even if you might say you're doing Eid with your company, the country is not here. Technically, you're the only one who's doing Eid in the place. So that's wrong. Wrong. According to the Sunnah, and wrong also according to the Aql also at the same time. It doesn't make sense. And also especially with the Adha, it's the wrong thinking. You Allah, is the wrong thinking. Because if you do the Eid, before the country you are living in, if you do the Eid, then you have some scholars who believe that your Eid is batil. Your Eid is batil, and your oath here also is a waste of money. He just laham, shatu laham, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he says, man dabha qabla salah, innama hi shatu laham. You slaughter before the Eid, before the prayer. And how do you convince yourself that it's a prayer here in this? Because if you say the prayer is a prayer of your country, then I would say, which prayer in your country is we are referring to? Right? Which prayer are you referring to? Then we will say, okay, since he's talking in Saudi, then the prayer of Saudi. That means people who are behind, who are above Saudi, 12 hours more than that, they cannot do Eid at all, because when they do it, they took the Saudi in the day. Nobody is saying that this. And also, if you do it, so you see over here is shaky. However, if you wait and do the Eid with your people, you follow the hadith of the Prophet, that's number one. And number two, you're going to do Eid in either the day of Eid, it's, you're going to do the oath here, in either the day of Eid itself, according to the site in another country, or you will be doing it in Ayyam al-Tashriq in another country. I mean, by consensus of the scholars, your oath here is correct. Bidhillah al-Jalil. Get it? So, it is not smartness actually what some of us are doing, you know, when they celebrate Eid before the people in the country that they did it. But for the fasting of the day of Arafah, because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam attached it to the day of Arafah, then you go and follow the Arafah itself. You know, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us a good. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this is an expiation for 2 years. Yeah, 2 years. So don't forget, this is an expiation of your sins that you have committed last year and the following year or the current year. You know, many of us, we stop here, right? But don't forget, he says an expiation. What happened to the reward? And it is the impact of the fast. It goes back and remove your sins and remove these ones also. What is, I mean, you will have no clue, you know, of what could possibly be the reward of this fast in the eyes of the last moment of time. So please get ready. It is only 10 days, right? Do it for your own benefit. And we have so many other righteous deeds, right? Silatul Rahim, Birrul Walidain, you know, being good to the parents, Silatul Rahim, being kind to your family members, all of them. You know, anything that you know Allah loves, doing it in these days is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Allah did not restrict it to one specific thing. Zil Amal Salih. The jinns, any Amal Salih. Whatever is Amal Salih, righteous deed, ibadah that is done, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and also sahibuha mukhlisan lillahi azza wa jalla. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will value in these days. May Allah accept you. May Allah grant you good and ability to do the right thing, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid you to do it. Because ability might be there, but we're lazy. Yeah, we're able to do it, capable of doing it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to do it in the way He wants, and to be among the successful ones in these days and days to come until we meet Him. So back to Bulugh al-Maram. This is also inshallah an act of worship. Seeking knowledge in these days, because seeking knowledge, is it ibadah?
Yes.
Yes. So have also intention that you are seeking knowledge in the 10 days of the Hijjah. قال وعن عبد الله بن مغف أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن الخذ وقال إنها لا تصيد صيدا ولا تنكأ عدوا إنها لا تصيد صيدا ولا تنكأ عدوا ولكنها تكسر السن وتفقع العين. عبد الله بن مغفل وليس بمغفل. He says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he made it prohibited for a person to do al-khadfi. Al-khadfi, you know, when you put the pebbles, a small stone, and you put it between your ilham and sabbaha, index, it shoot those things. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you shouldn't do this. Yeah. We do a lot, you know, things which sometimes exist in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We never know that they do exist. There's things people play with it. And the Prophet said we shouldn't do it. Sometimes friends, and they go out, and I'm telling you things which, you know, subhanAllah, Rasulullah did not neglect anything. Sometimes when you go out, friends, when they come to a masjid or any other place, the other friend, and a friend, and two friends, you know, one of them will take the shoe of another one and hide it. And even this one, Rasulullah said, do not take it. Now, subhanAllah is the mentality of human beings. Wherever they exist, you know, even the companions, they do that. SubhanAllah, that's Islam. Whatever upset a Muslim, Islam is not for it. Although you're joking, but that moment of, you know, stress that you give him, Islam says, no, don't do it. Yeah. Look for other kind of jokes, but not this one. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha anil al-khalfi. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because this al-khalfi, it will never, you know, get you a prey. You cannot get a sayd with it. Or defeat an enemy by doing the al-khalfi. Yeah. You go to the battlefield and you do this. Well, I can attack Sirus Sin, but this, when it hits the teeth of somebody, the tooth, it might break the tooth. When it goes inside the eyes, it might affect the eyes. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't do it. To avoid any possible mistake that can happen. قال واختلف والخلف رمي الإنسان بحصات أو نواة أو نحوهما يجعلهما بين إصبعيه السباحتين أو السبابة والإبهام وفي تحريم ما قد قتل بالخلف من الصيد الخلاف الذي مضى في صيد المثقل. You remember we talk about المثقل, something that is heavy, that you hit something with it, an animal, and the animal die because of that. So we have the controversy of the scholars concerning that matter. He said, you apply the same controversy also here. If let's say a person shoot a small animal with this, a bird, small birds, with this, and it's affected. You get it? Is it halal for you to eat it or not? لأن صيد الحصاة ثقيل بثقلها لا بحدها. أو قتيل بثقلها لا بحدها. The one, the prey, the animal that is killed by the حصى, that pebble, that small stone. قتيل بثقلها. The weight, by the weight. It was killed because of the hit, not because of the sharp. And inside, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, only that which you kill with your the sharp, right? You remember the mi'rab? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the stick that you or room you have, which has at the side of it there are sharp place and there is a normal place. But unfortunately this animal was hit by the normal place. So it died. Can you eat or not? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, you shouldn't eat. So we apply also the same when it comes to this. قال وعن عبد الله بن عباس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تتخذوا شيئا فيه الروح غرضا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, you shouldn't take anything that has soul in it as غرض. What is غرض? Target. Yeah. We want to test our accuracy in shooting and we make our target a chicken. يا ويلها. Is it halal to do that? No. It's haram for us to do this. You know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we shouldn't take anything that has soul in it as a haram. But how about if, you know, sometimes they want to test their accuracy in shooting, they have a pigeon, it flies. And a person should shoot it when it flies. But their intention is, they will cook them after that and eat. Yeah. It will go quickly before it dies and slaughter and then eat.
If they say Bismillah, then shoot fine. Yeah. If they say Bismillah.
Now I'm just saying, is it the same as taking it as gharab?
No, because he intended to cook it.
But it's, yeah, it's gharab.
No, he intended to cook it.
I get you, Nazim. You are right, 100%. But it is?
It is a target.
It is a target, right? Yeah. This is the. Yeah. But because of that purpose of training, which Islam prays, and it also something that could be justified. Yeah. Right? Yeah, because shooting something that is standing still is not equal to the thing that is moving, and you don't know which direction it will move. Mm. Yeah, and you have intention to eat after that. inshallah, I'll give like maybe he bas fi idhnillah sujud. قال والحديث نهي عن جعل الحيوان حدافا يرمى إليه والنهي للتحريم لأنه أصله ويأيده قوله قوة حديث لعن الله من فعل ذلك. He says in this hadith we learned that it is prohibited for a person to do that. النهي prohibition when it comes. النهي, you know, asking you to stay away from something is for تحريم. تحريم means prohibition. Because the nahi could be the tanzih, right? Dislikeness. But al-asr fihi at-tahrim. Whenever you see nahi, nahal nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nahal Allah, la tafa'lu. It means haram to do it. If you do it, you will be sin. When somebody says this is what tanzih, then they have to provide evidence for that. If there is no evidence, we go with the tahrim. And this is supported by another hadith, the same hadith. In some part of it, the Prophet ﷺ said, "La'an Allahu man fa'ala dhalik." Allah cursed the one who did that. What is a curse?
Staying away from Allah's mercy.
No. What is a curse? Okay, Hamad says, staying away from Allah's mercy, right? I said no.
Allah will inflict something on you that will inconvenience you.
Okay. So.
Something that will affect the generations.
Huh?
Something that will affect the generations.
Some good also sometimes might affect the generation. Because something that affects the generation, yes, is what I'm looking for. What is that thing? What is that thing? The father is poor, and the generation also get affected by that. Are they cursed? No, they're not. Yeah? Or they might not be. You know? And by the way, that hadith is weak also. The one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to be very careful. Yeah, the meaning is prophet. You get it? But the hadith is weak. This is وَلَعْنَتِي تَبْلُغُ السَّابِعَ مِنْ وَلَدْ. My curse, when I curse, it reaches, you know, seventh generation of a person. Might get affected.
This one is weak.
The hadith is weak. The text of the hadith is weak. But is it possible? Yes, it is. Yes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed something in the house, subhanAllah, but we generation after generation, they might be in trouble because of that problem. To increase the responsibility of the perpetrators, the first ones who did. Hamad, you are almost right, but they just reduce the impact of the curse. It is different. But Mazin doesn't want to come to what is his name again? Hamad. Mazin doesn't want to come to Hamad. It's different from Hamad chases Mazin away.
Okay.
Okay, that is Izzah from Mazin's side, right?
Taken away from the Masjid.
Allah, at-tard min rahmatillah. Yeah. Allah will take this person away from his mercy. Yeah, if I see a person who stays away from the mercy of Allah, I will tell him, "You're magrur, a loser." But he thinks, you know. And subhanAllah, in Munasabah, I heard one of those losers who call themselves Muslimin. Allah, he was saying that they don't need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't want it. That's why I always say, being amongst the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Allah is one of the greatest blessings you have in this dunya. Yeah. By them I mean those who are with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam according to the understanding of the first generations. Sahaba, tabi'un, tabi'un. You Allah, it's a blessing. When you read about others, you will say, yes, it's a blessing. Otherwise, how is it possible for somebody who claims he is okay, aqlan, to come and say this towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They do. They do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. So, in some narration it says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed the one who did that. It means Allah is chasing him from his mercy. وَلَمَّا مَرَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَطَائِرٌ قَدْ أُصِيبَ وَهُمْ يَرْمُونَهُ قَالَ لَمَّا مَرَّ وَطَائِرٌ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَطَائِرٌ قَدْ أُصِيبَ وَهُمْ يَرْمُونَهُ. He says لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ is when he passes through a bird and the people then shoot. They tie the bird in one place and they started shooting. So it is Allah cursed the one who is doing this. وحكمة النهي أن فيه إيلاما للحيوان وتضعيفا وتضيئا لماليته وتفويتا لذكاته إن كان مما يذكى ولمنفعته إن كان غير مذكى. He says the wisdom behind this is that you are just causing the haywan, the animal to suffer unnecessarily, because you shoot some part. You shoot the wing, you want to shoot the leg, you want to shoot. So before he dies, he goes through so many problems. And we're going to see in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتال. It's here also in Bulugh al-Maram, inshallah, in this, under this topic also. We are causing pain to the animal, and also wasting money. Yeah, because this animal, if it is something that is halal or beneficial animal, you're wasting money. And also by doing this, you're going to miss the slaughter. And you lost if it is something that accepts slaughter. And you cannot eat it. At the end of the day, you just have to throw it away. And if it is something that is not accepting slaughtering, but it might be something that is beneficial, you can still benefit from it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we shouldn't do it. And alhamdulillah, if you are going to keep it standing still, why can't you put something else in it? Why animal? Do you get my point right? Why something that has soul? If you're going to keep it in one place, then why did you choose something that is alive? Choose anything. It doesn't even make sense. When you choose something that is alive, then you should choose something that is moving at a very high speed to test your accuracy, whether you will be able to do it or not.
قال وعن كعب بن مالك أن امرأة ذبحت شاة بحجر فسئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك فأمر بأكلها.
So I guess this is the best place to stop, inshallah. So next class will be starting from a hadith of Ka'b ibn Malik, inshallah.
Can I know the justification behind the person who says he doesn't need the mercy of Allah?
Well, Allah, I don't want to know that justification. It's a gulat mutasawwifa. I wish I kept that recording. I have been looking for it since I was in Medina. I have it. There's no way for you to listen to that and believe that this is a Muslims. But they are Muslims. We're deep in that. I'm just quoting this. This is one of the simplest things they said in that lecture. Otherwise, they say something which is bigger, much bigger than this. I remember one of the statements they mentioned, subhanAllah, and this is a lecture being given by one of them for the khawas and khawas and khawas. Khawas means very selective, people who are really close to the qutb, or whatever they call it. And those people who see things different from the way we see it. And now, what am I doing?
Holding
a book. Trust me, those people, they will tell that people are now, right now, the Sheikh is in Singapore doing something. Just holding the book is representing something. So he will eat in Ramadan, he might drink wine, you know, and all of these things, and he can convince his people that what you see is not the reality. Yeah. Some of them don't pray. You see him sitting at home, 24 hours, he never leave the house. Doesn't come to pray with others. But his people believe that he prays in Makkah every day. And these are the younger ones. Yeah. The biggest one, Kaaba, come to the house every day. So subhanAllah, I remember one of the statements, who was giving the speech to them. Even the Khawas, who has this mentality, he doesn't understand that. Right after he said this, people said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." It doesn't go to their brain, you know, with all the things which they accept, but this one is beyond the limit. And he went back and emphasized on it. He told them, yes, definitely Allah does that. So, what justification they have? Shaitan influences. That's it. There's no dumbness that is bigger than this. As he says, he said they don't want paradise.
Yeah, how can we say that?
And they don't know whether Allah can even give them what they deserve or not, because they're beyond what he has. This is how some of us.
How can we say that they're still Muslims?
Yeah, that's what they call themselves. Yeah. They call themselves. Mm-hmm. They see you as somebody who doesn't know. Majnoon, actually. You don't understand things. So that's why holding upon that aid of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, according to the understanding of the companions, or any other way out, then you have other than this. Otherwise, Allah, you'll be all the hookah people being played with. Yeah. He used to have a book, alhamdulillah, I got rid of it.
You wrote a book too?
No. I used to have a book. I own a book. I don't know. Some of these pages of the people that he called awliya, I don't think you can read them twice. Yeah. You get it? No need to mention them here, but just alhamdulillah, al-sunnah.
So, hunting with a sling, like a rock, and a sling, this is also forbidden?
It's forbidden. If when you kill an animal with it, unless if you meet the animal and slaughter the animal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When we had children, we used to get birds with it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a dunya, wherever you go, this is very normal.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I know, if you do, you can do, but you must slaughter. If you go, by the time you go, the animal is dead, you lost. And according to the Malikis, actually, coming from Algeria, then when you go to the animal and the animal is about to die, they said your slaughtering is useless. Because whether you slaughter, you don't slaughter, it is going to die. There is no hayat mustaqirra.
With the stick, same.
The same. You hit the animal, that is a deer, you hit it so much, it just passes and you hit. SubhanAllah, by the time you bring the knife from your pocket, this deer is shifukum. Yeah, you lost. Yeah, the stick will never make it halal. That's why the Prophet said, unless if you hit it with the head, the sharp part, you know, the spear or anything.
Sheikh, if it's an animal that is fragile and that when you hit the blood, it splashes.
No, as long as it cuts the...
Like for example, a partridge, like a small bird.
Yeah, no.
So does it still count?
I mean, it destroys the animal completely, right? It's exploded.
Yeah, the head is cut off.
So what do you have here? I don't know. So the scholars are looking at it through the hadith that the death is caused by the weight, not by the sharp.
But this one is mu'allal, Hamad. Mu'allal means it has illa, because the sharp, it brings the blood. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, ma'an harad dama. Because the purpose is to have the blood going out, so that you will not eat a dead animal. You will not eat that blood that is, preserved inside it. You get what I'm saying? It's not just about the weight, because you might hit it. And if you leave it, it's going to die, for sure. But you manage to slaughter. Then it's okay.
Therefore, about bullets.
The bullet also, is it breaking the, what is it killing? Is it the weight or the speed? That's why we have the controversy among the scholars.
Some of them, they have like very sharp, they're just like arrows, but some of them are like round.
So if you go and it goes with the sharp and penetrate that animal and remove the blood, then أقرب الحل هو الأقرب. It's a controversial matter among the scholars. As-saydu bil bundaqiyya. I just skipped it just now.
You skipped it?
Yeah. Oh, you want to?
Isn't this the most important one for us?
Okay, then I'll come back next class. I just keep it just now. The first hadith, I just saw it, and you saw me keeping silent, right? I just see, okay, what is it? Why is it important? Then I just.
In that case, what's the raja?
No, when it kills, it kills with the weight. Let's say the bullet hits it, it dies because of that. Then you have to meet it and slaughter it.
Even if it bleeds.
Yeah, when it goes, that's why I say when that is a sharp, it goes inside. And then you have one question also to answer, which is, these bullets, do they come with fire or not? Mm-hmm. Because if they come with fire, also another issue. Is it halal for you to use them in the first place? And when it is prohibited to use, the result, is it halal for you to use it or it isn't? Yeah, because if you use the bullet, I think it comes with fire.
Depends.
Or it depends.
Air guns, they don't. There's like a category called air guns, they don't come with fire.
I just know more.
There's like a pressure.
Air pressure. Okay. So then, this one will be having another hukum. Let's talk about this and see what the scholar said in the next class, inshallah.
Let's say that, for example, in Malaysia, there are a lot of wild pigs, and they destroy crops. So let's say the government says, like they hire me, and they say, go kill these animals. Yeah. So can you just kill the pigs and just leave them, and you don't eat them? Like your intention was to simply kill the pig?
Actually, you don't eat them in the first place.
Yes, but because you have explained multiple different scenarios where you cannot kill an animal without the intention of eating it. So, or another
that's
example,
the animal that could eat. There are animals actually which wherever you see them, you have to kill them. Mm-hmm. Okay, there are animals which you kill them when they harm, like in this case.
Okay.
Yeah, because when they reach the level they harm in the community, mm-hmm. the government says we're going to get rid of them.
Oh, this makes sense.
They have to. This is their job to make sure that the citizens are protected. The Western community is going to fight so much the hukuk al-haywanat. Yeah, you get it? But the government shouldn't care about that. They should care about their citizens. In the West is different. Dog is better than human being. Sometimes. I don't know, all the time or sometimes. But if the government is doing that, it's halal for them to do. To kill and throw them away. For the non-halal animals, they just kill and throw. But this wild pig, sometimes they attack. It was attacked by two of them. Yeah, at night. 3 a.m. Yeah. Shabab, they said they want to do it in the masjid now. Sarao, it's a young people. So after 3, they all slept. So I said, why am I staying in the masjid alone? So I came down, it was around 3 a.m. And I came down, I was confronted by this heavy ones. They look at me, I look at them, I was like, okay, what to do now? So they produce some sound, I also repeat the same thing. So they just decided to go. And
I look for my way. So they do attack. So when there are many coming a lot and we have cases, then the government has to interfere. They shouldn't worry about them finishing. Even if they finish all of them to save one life of human being, it's okay to finish all of them. You know, all of them. They have no value of one life of a Muslim. I like that. It's good.
First question is by Khalid. Assalamu alaikum.
Sahibina, how are you?
Assalamu alaikum. Dunya wal akhirah. If a dead frog is seen in a bucket with which water is taken from a well, do we have to take out the qullatain of water from the well to purify it?
No, إذا بلغ الماء قلتين ما لم ينجس. As long as the color, the taste, you know, doesn't change, then it's okay. They can use in the shop. بئر بضاعة, you know, in Medina, they told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what is the hukm of the water inside? And the Rawi says, this is the بئر يرمى فيها النتي. Okay? Well, here, kalima tushbiha, these are the things which are used by the sisters in those days, replacing the part nowadays. So with the blood of Hayd, they just put it inside. I mean, garbage, when they bring, they put it inside. And also, walhum al-kila. Yeah, dog the flesh. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the hukum of this water? He says, إِنَّ الْمَاءَ طَهُورٌ لَا يُنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٍ. He says, water is tahur. Al-ma, referring to this water. لَا يُنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٍ. Nothing makes it najasa. What does that mean? It's halal to make it. But then the scholars explain, they said, actually, I got this from Alim Sunan Al-Khattabi, his commentary on Sunan Abi Dawud. He mentioned that actually people are not purposely putting those things inside. Yeah, but the Sayyid, you know the Sayyid, right? That temporary river that comes from a hill and comes for a stay for days and then stop. So it brings all of those things and put them inside the well. So it will stay for quite well and quite well, and then there's the water will come and get them out all. They don't stay forever. Otherwise, there's no way for us to say with all the blood and things, and he says in Mount Tahur. They're not referring to that, but they're referring to the fact that sometimes there are circumstances where the world is like this. So can we use it or not? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so that hadith which Khalid wrote, Hafizahullah, we use it only when it comes to in general. But the one that is more applicable here is the one that talks about the change. You know, this is the best approach in terms of preferring one of the opinions of the scholars concerning the water. We just focus on the change. Does the color or the taste or the smell change? Yeah, if any one of them changes, whether it is qullatain or more than qullatain, it doesn't matter. You get it? That's the best approach in dealing with water. Yeah. If one of these issues, element changes, then the water with najasa, then the water will be najis. If not, it remains tahir. Yet, the standstill rivers, just because you don't see, but maybe you have a lot of frogs dead and some other animals. But as long as the taste, the color, the smell remains, a person shouldn't care about anything. You can just use that water, inshallah.
Next question is by Brother Uzair. Assalamu alaikum. Should we avoid slaughtering an animal in front of another that's looking?
Enough.
shinalu. That's the ta'adhib. Because they don't understand. And so when you go to the what do you call the place where they slaughter a butcher? I mean, subhanAllah, you hardly find the one that is going according to Islam. You find hundreds of them, all of them being slaughtered in front of them. They will put it in the blood and so it sees everything. Yeah, that's punishment, that's ta'zim.
It's more lazy.
Where's the miskin? I think we have controversy here, right? In this majlis about the lizard, right? The gecko. Mm-hmm. Call them chicha.
Baby gecko. That's why I'm asking.
Quite difficult to kill, actually.
This
one. Yeah. I had to kill one because it's running over my desk very fast and they have tough skin.
Maybe it's not gecko, but the one that we know
no,
is...
No, this is the one.
This is the one?
Of course, it's all over Malaysia.
And it's quite difficult to kill.
Very difficult. I'm surprised, yes.
Alhamdulillah, Adam, you came to Malaysia. In Canada, make you so weak, you know?
No, you can try.
You always smack them at home.
No, he will not die. Wallahi, he will not die if you do this. You have to cut its head off. It's so resilient. Yeah, now, inshallah, one will come to your desk and you'll see one.
Adam. Just accept my comment when I say, Alhamdulillah, you came to Malaysia. Inshallah, if you... few months, inshallah, I will ask you. Inshallah, I will ask you one day. Adam, how is it? Still difficult? But this one, I think when we hit it,
bang, like that, it will keep moving.
I think maybe you're using a soft broom, you know, that that did some massage to it, but but the one that comes to our house, you know, just hit once and then khalas
masala.
Really? Yeah. Oh. That's why I would say it's so difficult.
There's dealing with the damir of the lizards.
Yes, but the thing is it even the one that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we should kill or not? That's another question.
Can't you avoid his baby like that?
It was
here.
Yeah, because it grows.
Exactly.
Yeah, because it grows. The same thing. Yeah, baby. The same thing. Unless if we have the facts from those who have the knowledge that this one doesn't hold.
And should we mobilize like ourselves to do it, or is it just like when it gets annoying that we kill it?
I know, if it is the gecko, you are recommended actually to do it. As the Prophet said, this one, if it is the gecko, Rasulullah asked us to kill it wherever we can find it. It's فَإِنَّا كَانَ تَنْفُخُ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ. It is the only animal that is trying to blow and increase the fire.
And
You lost. And also you keep a dangerous thing at home. Because they said it's very dangerous to your health. Some of these even to work on your food. You eat without washing, you might get it. One of our scholars long ago was saying that if it bites, you know, it goes to the house when you have something liquid and covered, it goes inside and pee inside. Mm. And the purpose of peeing, putting liquid so that it will go to everywhere. Yeah. And if it is something, dry, it goes in. To make sure that it goes everywhere so that you will come and eat it and get affected. And they say sometimes it might cause a disease which is worse than leprosy. You know, so I never heard somebody who says good about the gecko, if it is the one.
And the one in Malaysia is the one.
Yeah, this is what we eat back home, this is gecko. Yeah. Wherever you go, wazaga, even in the dictionaries when they ask for wazaga, it shows you this one. But is it the one that the Prophet ﷺ is referring to? Yeah. That's why I told Abdurrahman last time, I think he did, I forgot, to check with the villagers. Because this one, you need people from the village, the Arabs, but from the village, not from the city. Because this one, they still keep the language, the culture, the customs, so they know what is water now. Those ones, if you can reach one of them and ask him, what is water now? Whatever they show you, you work on that.
Gecko do exist in the desert.
Yeah. Both. So that's
Okay, so next question is by Sister Iman. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Can I kill a hunting dog that is killing my pets and chickens? This hunting dog belongs to someone. The owner tries to stop the dog, but it continues to kill my pets.
No, you should hold the owner responsible, take him to the court, but don't kill his dog. Yeah, you just hold him responsible. He has to pay everything, you know. By right, he must pay you whatever you lost. And the authority have to put restriction on him that he shouldn't let his dog to attack somebody else's. That means somebody else's pet. That means he has to tie it. And if your pet is going to the house, then that's your problem. But if he's coming to the place where you keep your pet, then this dog has to be tied up.
Can we put something like a trap?
To trap it?
Mm.
No, if he calls it anyhow, you also have to pay in that way. He pays whatever he calls you, and you also pay. And you know, those trained dogs might be so expensive. He is going to pay a very simple amount to get you another one. And you are going to pay a lot of. Yes.
Next question. In case of udhiyah done in another country and we don't have information when the animal is slaughtered, can we cut our nails and hair?
Just do the tahafi. Go with the vast majority of your thinking. That inshallah by now they already did. Yeah, you know the country, just check and see. When is 8, when is 9? Cut your nails at 10. Inshallah by then, be like Allah, they slaughter you.
Next question by Brother Zubayr. Sheikh, in an authentic hadith, it is written to kill black dogs wherever you see them. Should we really do it? What does this truly mean?
Yes, you do it in the places where you don't get into trouble. Dogs in some places have right more than human beings. You kill it, you go to jail. You don't. Be with people and be productive and help others is better than being in jail. You get it? So don't. But you're living in a village, in a place where this law doesn't exist. You see a black dog and you kill. That's fine.
Next question by Brother Khalid again. The question is that, I think he's talking about the hitting of the lizard. If you hit it more than once, you start losing reward?
Yeah, that hadith, if I'm not mistaken, says once. But whether you lose the reward, but the hadith says once, you kill it with one hit.
100 times.
I know it's not about, it's not allowed to kill, but do it with one hit.
But if, let's say, the first hit is not enough, are we allowed to
do it? You're allowed to do it, because the point is to kill. So, Hamad will get 100 reward. Adam will look for him another righteous deed, right? We look for, not killing Gecko, we look for Salah, Sunan, prayer. Yes.
Next question. Question by Umar Yan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Sheikh, could you please explain what is the hikmah behind the tafsir? Ibn Kathir and the scholars say that the ayah in Surah Al-Fajr, wa layalin ashr, refers to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah and not the last 10 of Ramadan.
Both. You know, it's a controversial matter. These type of things you cannot say with certainty. This is the, when you have the controversy among the scholars and you don't have specific evidence that say one of them, get it? And we just leave it as a possibility. You get it? You know, could be this or could be that one. The smartness is to utilize both. Last 10 days of the Hijjah and the first 10 days. First 10 days of the Hijjah and the last 10 days of Ramadan.
Question on behalf of brother. What's the ruling on not praying Dhuhr in the masjid because of the heat of the summer?
Why? Why can't he talk to the masjid authority to delay the prayer a bit? You get it? Because this is what one of the prayers that you can do, Ibrad, means wait first until it cools down. So the masjid should understand this. It should delay the prayer because of this so that people will be able to attend. Because jama'ah is shayira min sha'ir al-deen. It's not good for the jama'ah to be missed. You know, unless if it is necessary to miss it. That's why, for this reason, we are allowed to combine both prayers when there is a difficulty in not doing that. Get it? To keep the jama'ah intact.
If I understand correctly, the brain is hardened and not go to the prayer.
Enough.
So, what if, in this case, we do have, let's say, you know, shelter or some way to go to the mosque? Is it still considered?
I know. It's, that's why in Malaysia, I mean, unless if I just wanted. Get it? In UI, unless if I just want to combine the prayers. But there will never be a reason why prayers are combined in UI. In Malaysia in general, actually. Because you expect rain every time. So the country's design, let me just restrict us to UI. UI is designed to accommodate this. The rain might be so heavy, you can go almost wherever you want to go without getting wet. You can reach the masjid without getting into trouble. So as long as this is possible, then it is not an excuse for people to combine the prayers at all. And we have to look for something else, but not this one. And, that's why they said the rain that will make you wet when you go to the masjid. Not everyone can tolerate, even if you tolerate it, but how do you go to the masjid and pray with this wet body? So as long as you have the means being provided, which will link you to the place. Umbrella cannot. Umbrella is okay, you still combine the prayers. Yeah. But I'm talking about this, the roof made by the authority. This one, if they do exist, then you don't have any excuse to combine the prayers. Because we can still come on time to the masjid without getting disturbed. You know. Sure. Oh, questions finished?
So is it not suggested to pray in the saf if you're wet, very wet from the rain?
No, because you're going to disturb the people next to you.
But if it's just a little bit, it's not that. It's okay.
Yeah, as long as you're not going to harm the one who is next to you, then it's okay. I mean, drop of water on you, that one is okay. And you make wudu also, you have those things. Yeah. But I mean, you're completely wet. You know, if I see you, I know that, yes, Adam isn't from the rain. Yeah. Yeah, this one, whoever is going to pray next to you, most likely would not agree to make shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot. You know. And also, you don't know, after the rain, what kind of smell your clothes will be producing. الحمد لله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته